Well, look, I am a big believer that I want as more people to join the church as possible because I want it to be a big church. I like big. I mean, that's great. And I also, I think that when you grow, that's life. When you stop growing, that's death. And I think this idea of closing down churches, I think those, there are parts of the Catholic Church would say, we want to be small and pure. I think that's sick. I mean, I don't think there is such a thing as purity. I mean, forget it. And so the idea that you can be pure, is that as your ideal, really shows that you don't understand about how things grow and that it's and how life works. So I think they're onto the wrong thing. So I want you to say, I mean, the happiest I am is when somebody listens to me and they say they're going to stay in the church. On the other hand, if it's so painful for you, I know it's hard to stay. What I have, look, the church has had a terrible history in many ways, as you know. I mean, the Borgias, you know, the Borgia popes, I mean, they slept with their own children and had baths, you know, I mean, you know all this, and they stole, and I mean, one cardinal killed his opponent. He figured out to kill him right after he had communion because that was the time he would be least aware of fighting him off. I mean, this is bad stuff. So I want to say that it's not like we've just had a bad history in the last 50 years. It's been bad throughout its history, but it's also been good. And that's the great thing about life, which is that there's good and there's bad, there's ups and there's downs, there's richness all the time. And what our struggle as human beings, I think, is to find the richness in the church that has lasted for 2,000 years because there's something deep and true and about what our church is. And there's a reason. You don't last 2,000 years if you don't touch something deep in the human spirit. So I asked this wonderful gay man to please stay in the church. I suspect that there will be many people who are gay and sympathetic to gays in the Cleveland area who will welcome that. You don't have to have a church that looks like this to be a church. You can have one in your living room. You can have one in someplace else. A basement. I mean, there's lots of places to have a church. A church is not a building, it's a sense of community. And I bet here in Cleveland, you have created that great sense of community.
Kathleen, how can we get people to think beyond the single issue of abortion in this upcoming election?
Well, thinking is actually, I wouldn't describe it as thinking. You did ask me, right? I mean, I got to tell you, I went and I was thrilled today in one sense. I was asked to come and speak at Magnificat High School. And it's a fabulous high school. Did you go there? So I couldn't believe that they would allow me to speak there, as you've given my opening remarks. So I was absolutely thrilled. And I thought the nuns were very gutsy and courageous to have me. They wouldn't let me take questions because they didn't want me to be asked about abortion. In fact, when they said, well, Kathleen, what would you say? And I told them what I'd say. No, they said, no questions. But more disturbing than that, which I guess I understand, was that a number of parents called and protested, which obviously I'm accustomed to, but then the parents wouldn't allow their children to hear me. And I thought, wow, I must be powerful that I could overcome 10 years or 12 years or I guess they're in high school, 14 years of parent indoctrination in one 40-minute speech. That's pretty cool, huh? So that thrilled me, and it made me, that's why I said, I don't think it is thinking. I mean, as you know, all the studies have shown that when Democrats get elected, abortion rates go down. You know that, right? So, and there's another study saying the exact same thing, because Democrats believe that you should try to provide help for the child, help through the pregnancy, give money, provide jobs for the father. I mean, so all the social programs we believe in actually reduces the rate of abortion. So I always say, are you interested in rhetoric or results? The Republican platform took out their abortion reduction language. They don't want to reduce it, they just want to condemn people and use it as a political issue. So I am happy to talk about it if anybody lets me. And I'm going to tell you something really interesting, at least it was to me. I gave a talk in Florida about my book, and I was asked by Voice of the Faithful to come and speak. And as you can imagine, of course, I couldn't speak at the Catholic parish. And the week before me, Charlie Curran had been offered to speak, and the Greek Orthodox Church opened their doors to him. And that disturbed the bishop, so the next week they couldn't have me at the Greek Orthodox Church, so I went to the Presbyterian Church. I know, it's so weird. But before, I just had to tell you that story, it's just so bizarre. But before that, I had this really interesting experience. I went to a book club, and most of the people in the book club, it was like only 30 people, they were all pro-life. They liked my family, so they were willing to listen to me. But they had never heard about St. Thomas Aquinas. They had never heard about the soul entering in the fourth month. They had never heard about women being called the devil's gateway. They had never heard that Democrats actually reduced the number of abortion. So when you say thinking, I don't think there has been a real dialogue about what's going on. I think it has been fear and not thinking. And I think that's unfortunate, because what I love about my church, I love a lot of things, but one of the things that Pope Benedict, can you believe that I'm quoting Benedict, said, which is really true, is that what the church, our church offers, is both reason and faith, rationality, that the human, we are people of hearts, but we also have a mind, and we are supposed to use all parts of our body. And I think too often, we are just not using our mind. So that's what I love about the church, and I think that we have to continue to make sure that people know other ways of thinking about it. I'm part of something called Catholic Democrats, and we're making a real effort to go out and organize all across the country, particularly in places like Ohio, Cuyahoga County, for the obvious reasons, to say we have a broad view of life, and it does not just end at birth, and therefore we need to do lots. I think people can, there's this great study that if Democrats go out and try to reach the religious vote, they go up 15 to 17 points as compared to Democrats who don't go out and try to reach the religious vote. So the point is, if you're willing to make the argument, you can be compelling, not 100%, but pretty compelling. And too often, people are afraid. And that's actually, and to talk with somebody they disagree, oh, because its arguments are so difficult. And we're unaccustomed to being, have I gone on too long with this answer? Anyway, I think you have to learn how to talk about it, and you have to learn how to engage people with whom you disagree, and learn how to talk and get them to listen and get yourself to listen to them.
Kathleen, next person says, should we encourage withholding our donations to our parishes for a month or a year?
Sure.
Thank you.
That's what I love about the church. A church doesn't last for 2,000 years just because it has the good spirit. It also has an organization. And the great thing about the Catholic Church, it's an institution, and institutions respond to power. And money is power. So if that's what you want to do, go ahead. Who wants to do that? Yeah, I think that's fine. I think you can come up with other alternative, you know, I mean, you'll figure out what you want to do, but I think money talks.
Person says, what can I do as a subscriber to the Catholic Universe Bulletin, diocesan newspaper for the Cleveland area, that mainly publishes letters of the conservative right?
My letters
are not printed, and I do try to print them. Any wrong thinking, any ideas?
Well, the great thing now is the internet. And so you can start your own Catholic paper on the internet that doesn't take, and you can say, these are the letters to the editor that aren't published. I mean, literally. I mean, you could, I love that you laugh. But in other words, you don't have to be stuck by, you don't have to be curtailed by them. And there's radio, and there's the internet, and somebody could write about tonight. What a great speaker you have.
Before the last, how do you feel about Catholic politicians being called into talk with their bishops, for example, Nancy Pelosi?
Actually, I think it's great. No, you know why? I'm gonna tell you this story. So when I was interviewing for my book, I went to see Kathleen Sebelius, who is, as you know, her father was the governor, Gilligan, of Ohio, and she went out to Kansas, and she ran for governor, and she won, right? She's a Catholic. She went to Catholic school for, I guess, 16 years, 12 years in Ohio, and 4 years at Catholic University, okay? So, and the bishop, she told me lots of stories. She told me how her bishop, you know, said she shouldn't get communion. She told me how the bishop criticized the Catholic College in Kansas for inviting her, and the nun who was head of the college said, who pays attention to him? But she also described how on one day, she'd known the bishop for 30 years. She'd been the bishop in Kansas. She'd been the insurance commissioner. Not once in those 30 years had he ever talked to her about abortion. Not once. She gets to office, she gets to be governor. He never calls her up and says, I want to talk to you. He has a press conference, he has a whole day conference with her on hunger issues about how the Catholic Church and the governor of Kansas can work together, the state of Kansas can work together to reduce hunger. And the next day she reads in the paper how he's condemning her. He never talked to her once. And she realized, it's a kabuki dance. It's not real. He's being criticized by his donors and his probably bishop, or, you know, however it worked, the Pope, the Cardinal, and he's doing it not because he really wants to talk to her and get involved in this. He's doing it just because he has to please a few people. They don't really want to talk about it. So I would be happy if a bishop actually wanted to talk to me. I haven't seen it that much. And on this very note, when I was interviewing my book, I talked to a number of fabulous Catholic theologians, terrific. And she said, the bishops, look, you get to be a bishop not because you know theology, you get to be a bishop because you know how to raise money and be an organizer. Well, you're supposed to. So, that, you know, if I were a Nancy Pelosi, I'd bring a Catholic theologian in with me. It's not that funny. You guys are laughing at my very good suggestions. But to tell you the truth, that is really what has to be done. I would bring you in, Chris, because you know more than most of those bishops. They're not there to study theology. I mean, even if they were, you'd be good. But the point is, that's not what they're doing. And they are political creatures. They're very political. It's a hierarchical feudal system. It's top down. So they go like this. So it would be good for them. I think it'd be great if Nancy Pelosi brought in Chris.
Okay, before I ask the last question, I need to share a side of Kathleen that, if anyone's wondering, you cannot see the torn skirt. She did a wonderful job. The last question is, are you going to run for Senate? Please do.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. Good luck.